Father, we thank you, Lord. We give you all praise and give you glory. We say, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And we say, Lord, thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, and thine is the glory. The dominion, the majesty, the wisdom, thanksgiving and praise and all adoration, honor, be unto you, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We thank you, for thou art exalted as head above all, and thou reignest over all riches, honor, glory, and everything come from you. The power to make great, the power to give strength, the power to exalt, to protect, to heal, to deliver, it all comes from you. Thank you, Lord. Today we say the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. We declare it so, to the glory of God, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Today, I want to just give a short exhortation on the secret place of the Most High. The secret place of the Most High and the shadow of the Almighty. That's right. And of course, you know, the text for that is taken from Psalm 91, famous psalm that just about everybody knows most of it by heart, and we use words from that psalm from time to time to encourage ourselves, especially in the face of danger and all. But let's consider some things in this psalm here this morning. I'll read through it and share a few words that the Lord will have us know today. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know, so right away we see that the introduction of this psalm is to that one person that dwells, and that's dwells, and that's different from checking in and out. You're checking in and out from a hotel, you know. You don't dwell in a hotel. You know, you may be there for 3 days, 1 day, 2 days, 4 days, or whatever, but you check in and you check out. Well, he's not talking to someone in that kind of relationship or experience. He's talking about someone that is dwelling. In other words, there. You know, you're there. You're not also visiting. You are actually there. When you receive a visitor in your house, you really don't consider them as a dweller in that place, or I say resident there. They're visiting. When the days of their visit are over, then they will leave. You know, so you yourself the same way. And you go to visit your friend or family, you may stay there for a few hours or a day or even longer, but you don't really consider yourself as living there. You're just visiting. And when you're done visiting, you leave. You know, so the, in contrast to what he's saying here, he's talking about the person that actually dwells in the secret place of the Most High. And we're going to talk about, you know, what that secret place may be. But the first thing I'm emphasizing here is the dwelling part. In the previous psalm, in Psalm 90, we read in verse 1, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Again, we see the concept of dwelling. You know, the Lord has been our dwelling place. Blessed is the man that dwelleth in that secret place of the Most High. Well, why is it called secret place? We'll get to that. But first, let's consider this subject of dwelling. You know, so we're not talking of some random encounters here. We're talking of habitation. You know, that's what dwelling means. You know, you are living in his secret place or living in that presence. God, that has been our dwelling place. You are the place, you know, where we live. You know, we live in that presence. We live in that secret place. You know, so let's think about that. In him, we live, we move, and have our being. Acts chapter 17, verse 28 tells us that. This is another famous verse. In him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. You know, some of these verses are famous, but we just recount them or chant them or just say them without giving them due thought that they actually deserve. You know, for us to live inside the Lord, to move inside him, to have our very being inside him. I mean, this is someone that is fully, you know, infused with the Lord. They're not separate. It's not that God is here and you are there, or he's there and you are here. You know, no. It's where he is where you are. And where you are is where he is. We're one in the spirit with the Lord like that, you know. So the concept of dwelling in the Lord, we have to look at it from the perspective of, number one, being in union with him, to the point that, you know, there is no separation. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16, it says, what? Know ye not that he which is joined to an allot is one body? Right? You know, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. In verse 17, when you are joined to the Lord, you are one with him in the spirit. Not two. You know, one. When we are one with him in the spirit, well, there's really no separation. He's always there, and you're always there with him. And, you know, the best part of it is we don't have to be looking for him. Neither does he have to be looking for us. We're already there in the same place together. And now what gives us confidence that we can have that kind of relationship with God? Well, Jesus said it in John 8 and 29. You know, he said, look, my Father has sent me, has not left me alone. He's always with me. That's right. You know, and I'm always with him too, because I do always those things that are pleasing in his sight. And that's a powerful statement. He that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone. I do always those things that please him. Wherever you go, take that word with you. Know that the Lord is always with you. Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. I mean, you will have to walk away from him, but his promise is steadfast. He's already said his part, that he will be with you, and he will be with you. You know, so praise the Lord. I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20. That's a promise. And why is it called? Let's reflect on why it might be called a secret place then. You know, what does the word secret imply? Well, for one thing, if something is secret, then it means it's not out in the open. It also means not everybody knows about it, you know. So that's another thing to think about. In the dictionary, secret can mean something that is hidden or that is obscured or that is not in plain view or not well known. Now, the well known part is the one that I want to focus on. It's not well known, even though it's there, but it's not well known. It's not public knowledge. If something is not public knowledge, then you say it's secret. And but why is it secret? Is it that it is not open to everybody, or is it because not everybody finds it? You know, like Jesus was saying, talking about the broad way, you know, that leads to destruction and that many are rushing into it. But that the straight and narrow way that leads to life, you know, very few find it. So that concept is what I want us to consider. Number one, it's when you find it, you are there all the time, you know. But not everybody can find it, or not everybody has found it. Let's put it that way. Everybody can really find it if they give their heart to do it, but not everybody has found it. Jeremiah 29 and 13 says, well, when you seek for me, you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. I mean, so it's not a haphazard check in and out kind of thing that puts us into that secret place. It's a determination to be in his presence all the time. Now, so those are some key words that we consider out of that very first verse. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Almighty. You know, we saw even in the way that the Lord instructed Moses about the tabernacle of witness, there was something called the showbread, and there was something called the hidden manna. Well, showbread means it's out in the open. Even though it was restricted to priests, among the priests, they could freely access the showbread. That's out in the open. But there was something else called hidden manna, kind of like secret. That's hidden. Not everybody can get to that. It's tucked away behind the second veil. And even when inside the second veil, it's inside something too, you know. And so you can begin to see the concept of out in the open, accessible freely, versus it's hidden and must be sought or sought after, you know. So the secret place, we conclude therefore that the secret place of the Almighty, you know, is a place that we have to search for. Now, we've already talked about, you know, in the last lesson, that even though we must search for the Lord, we know that we can only find him if he reveals himself to us. But we must do our part in searching for him. Searching for the Lord to find that secret place. And when you discover it, well, don't let it go. You know, praise the Lord. You know, the scripture says that the Lord likes to hide things and even hide himself. But we must search it out. Praise the Lord. In the book of Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 15, it says, verily thou art a God that hideth thyself. Now, why? Well, because he likes to be sought after. Yeah, so he hides himself. And we have to do some searching. Even though we understand that our searching alone without his grace and favor cannot, you know, produce anything. But we must do our part. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 25, we read that, you know, God enjoys this business of hiding a thing. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2. It is the glory of God. He enjoys it, you know, to conceal a thing. He enjoys doing that. Conceal a thing, conceal even himself. But it is the honor of kings to search it out. So we got to search it out. Are you a king? Did he say to us in the book of Revelation, let's see if God addresses us as kings, but because kings must search out the things that God hides. You know, so if you are a king, well, let's find out. In the book of Revelation, chapter 1, and we read this in verse 6, it says, unto him that loved us and washed us in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So we establish that God has made us kings. Not that he will make us, but has made us. And we read the same thing in the book of Revelation, chapter 5. And in this place where John saw that it was only the Lamb of God that could take the book and open it, well, you know, what he read afterwards was when he did open it, they sang unto him a new song, and they said, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests. And so we shall reign upon the earth. Now, he has made us, not that he will make us, our dominion and the place of our reign may not be completely visible yet, but we're already kings. Just like David was anointed king, but it took many years for him to actually realize that kingship. Well, in the same way, we also are kings already, even Christ himself. You know, they announced his birth, you know, the wise man that came, he said, we've come to search out he that is born to be king of Israel. King? But it didn't look like he was king at all. He was born in a manger and all of that. And when he stood before Pilate, he said, well, art thou a king? And that man asked him, so Jesus said, well, you said it. For this purpose and for this cause, I came into the world. Who bear witness to the truth. He was king from the beginning. But it didn't look like he was king. He even said, my kingdom is not here. If it were, my subjects would fight. You know, but now is my kingdom not from here. But he was a king. You know, and yet, his kingdom was not there or visible at that time. So we also being kings and priests, and we have, you know, the honor of searching out a matter. Whatever God conceals to his own glory, we who are kings have the honor of searching it out. So, let that sink into our hearts for a minute. And that secret place, you know, we're going to discover what that place is. We want to discover that, you know, remember that it's secret because it's not in plain view and it's not, has not been found by everybody. That's why it's secret. If it were found by everybody already, then it would not be secret. You know, so, and, you know, that's what the subject matter of today's lesson is. That place where the Lord has chosen to put his name there, that place that he said, that's where I will meet with you, you know, where, how do we find it? You know, how do we get there, and so that we can stay there, you know, and dwell there. Again, remember, dwelling, not just visiting and not just checking in and out like a hotel. You are actually living. You live in your house. You visit your friend. You check in and out of a hotel. You don't dwell in those other places. You only dwell in your house, even in your office, your workplace. You don't dwell there, you know, but you dwell in your house. You know, that's your permanent habitation. It's your house. Praise the Lord. Now, in terms of this place that we're talking about being hidden and being unknown to everybody necessarily, Job chapter 28 verse 7 says, there is a path, or there is a place which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye has not seen. And you get into that place, I guarantee you, there is safety there. The foul, the wicked spirits, the spiritual wickednesses in high places, you know, vultures and different things that try to devour, well, they can't get to you there. In that place, as you will read in the rest of Psalm 91, we will find out that there is safety in that place. And that's why we took time to qualify those that get there. You know, it's a path which no fowl knoweth, and the vulture's eye has not seen it. The lion's whelp has not trodden it. No fierce lion can pass through there. You know, it puts you in that secret place. It's like the palm of his hands. He said, my Father, who's greater than all, giving them to me. Nobody can pluck anything out of his hands. Well, let's talk about how to get into that secret place. Well, we've already said that we must search. We must seek him. And while you are searching and seeking him, remember that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Even as the book of Hebrews 11 defines, or declares it to us, when we seek the Lord, we mustn't seek him haphazardly. You know, so let's read from Hebrews 11 verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently, the key word there is diligently. And remember, he hides himself looking for those who will seek him, but they must seek him diligently. Let's see what Job also says about this in Job chapter 22 and Job chapter 22, starting from verse 21. That's a powerful lesson that he gives concerning this. Say, acquaint now thyself with him. And that's that searching him out, finding, figuring out, learn of him, know him. But all the time remembering that except he reveals himself, you really can't find it. Jesus said the Father has hidden certain things from the wise and the prudent. Again, demonstrating that God loves to hide things. And at the same time, he reveals them to some. There is nothing hidden that shall not be revealed. Jesus made that pronunciation himself. I mean, there is nothing hidden. Maybe hidden for now, but eventually it will be revealed. Deuteronomy 29:29 tells us that, look, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. So there's always some secret things, you know. Those are God's. If he has favor unto you, he might drop some of those secrets. But those secret things belong to him. Now, the revealed things belong unto us. You know, belong to everybody, because now they are revealed. They're out in the open. You know, and that belongs to everybody. But what's secret is still secret until it is revealed. Now, it is secret as long as it has not been revealed. Once it is revealed, well, then it's no longer secret. Praise the Lord. Now, but, you know, the irony of it is that it may be secret and known at the same time. Secret to some who have not discovered it, but known to others who have discovered it. It's kind of like even in life, there are some secrets that some people have discovered. The hidden riches of secret places and the treasures of that. Some people have discovered it, how to make wealth. It's still secret to others. Others don't know these things, but some people know them. So something can be both secret and also revealed at the same time. Depends on who you are talking about. Secret to those who have not figured it out, but revealed and open to those who have figured it out. You know, so, but Jesus promises us something or declares something wherein he says, there is nothing hidden that shall not be revealed. Neither is there anything covered that shall not be known. So, whether it is hidden, at some point, it will be revealed. And many scriptures bear this out. It is found in Luke chapter 8, verse 17. It is also found in Matthew chapter 10, verse 26. Jesus said the same things. There is nothing that is secret that will not come to light. Secret until it is discovered. So, this secret place is out there, and there is an invitation for its discovery, because it is the honor of kings to search out whatever is secret. We got to search it out, and trusting that the Lord will reward those that diligently seek him. Praise the Lord. So that secret place is a place that we all must aspire to find. And when you find it, though, you will know it. You say, well, how will I know what I'm looking for? Well, when you get there, you will know. That's right. You know, so, this secret place is also in fearing the Lord. That's right. The secret place is in fearing the Lord. You know, so, Psalm 112 says that those that fear the Lord greatly and delight to do his will, there's some things, benefits they get. But listen to this powerful verse in Psalm 25 and verse 14. This declares that this secret that we are talking about, the secret of the Lord, is with those that fear him. And he will show them his covenant. Glory to God. You know, now let's consider that for a minute. Who will he show the covenant to? Well, those that fear him. And like I said, even though it's secret to some, it's revealed to others. You know, the key to being able to discover the secret things of the Lord is to fear the Lord always. You know, so I want you to take Psalm 25 and verse 14 as a key memory verse today. That's right. Let's take it as a memory verse. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. There's a covenant that God has made, not even the ones in the scriptures. Well, even the ones in the scriptures, people don't understand it. But there's a covenant that he has made that he will show to you in when you are walking in the fear of the Lord. That's what he says. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Isn't that beautiful? Yes. That is what we must recognize, you know. Now, how do we develop the fear of the Lord? You know, how do we develop the fear of the Lord in our hearts? You know, so, well, first of all, we really need to know him. And before we can know him, we have to seek him. You know, you can't know him if you don't seek him. And the Lord commands us to love the Lord our God with all our heart. Well, you can't love somebody that you don't know. You know, so we're seeking him in order to know him. And when we know him, we're loving him. When we love him, that's when we can really fear him. We'd stay in the fear of the Lord. You know, the fear of the Lord and the precepts, I mean, the things of the Lord, they're not taught by the precepts of men, but they are taught by the Spirit of God. You know, so consider that. And today, people have no concept of the fear of the Lord. People just do things anyhow. They don't tremble at his word. That's another aspect of the fear of the Lord. We spoke about that at length in the last series we concluded. The fear of the Lord. The Lord said, Lord, those who tremble, trembling is a sort of fear. You know, you tremble at his word. This is what God's word has said. You know, so he looks at it and he said, look, if you have that fear in your heart, there are many benefits, such as, you know, opening up of the knowledge and the depths of wisdom. The secret things open up to those that fear the Lord. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's right. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Yeah. So that's one revelation about, you know, how to get that secret, how to get that, you know, people who God considers to be wise are those who have found the secret place of the Lord. Not wisdom of this world. The Lord taketh the wisdom, the wise of this world in their own conceit. But the people that the Lord consider to be wise are the people that have found the secret place of the Lord. There's a place which no fowl knoweth, but some people have found it. There are some things that are hidden, but some people have found it. You know, by the grace of God, he reveals it. He hides it from some, and he reveals it to others. For so it seemeth good in his sight to do. Matthew 11:25. Our prayer is, Lord, let me be among those that you have chosen to reveal these things to. Hallelujah. Psalm 65:4 say, blessed is the man whom thou chooseth and causes to approach unto you, that he may know you and dwell in your courts. You know, this is the, it is the choosing of the Lord. We must desire these things, but the Lord is the one that makes the choice. You know, the fact that you are even wanting to seek the Lord, that's already the God's choice drawing you. Those that are callous and don't care about the things of God, well, they there's no way they're ever going to get it. But those that are wanting to know the Lord, listen to this. Psalm 65:4. Blessed is the man whom thou chooses and causes to approach unto thee, that he may dwell. That's that word, dwelling again. That he may dwell in thy courts. I mean, he's not going in and out. He's dwelling. Glory to God. And we shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Isn't that beautiful? Praise the Lord. You know, so when we seek the Lord with all our whole heart, may be found on him. Job 22:21 calls it, acquainting now thyself with the Lord, putting away iniquity from thy tabernacles. There are many blessings that come with that. Many of those blessings are laid out in Job 22:21-28. But I want to talk about some blessings of protection first, that are, you know, listed in the Psalm 91. The insight to what that secret place is will be found even in that Psalm 91. You know, it's there. It's talking about the benefits, but it's even, you know, if you read it carefully, you'll see the very insight to the secret place. It's called the shadow of the Almighty. You know, I mean, if the Lord is overshadowing you like that, well, then you are, he's right there with you wherever you go. You know, he's overshadowing you with his love and with his eyes and, you know, his power, and under his wings you are trusting. So let's read through, now that we've established the business of secret place, dwelling there, and all of that. Let's read through this great Psalm 91 and find some of the things that the Lord promised to those that can find that secret place. You know, I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge, my fortress. Remember, I introduced all this by saying you are dwelling in that secret place and you are abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. So here are some of the benefits for those that dwell in that secret place. And, you know, number one, they will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Number two, they will have confidence and they will be able to say, the Lord is my refuge and my fortress. That's right. They will not be afraid of anything, you know, because they are dwelling in the Lord. And here is a list of other benefits that they will enjoy. You know, because you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, well, the Lord then will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. What is the snare of the fowler? Well, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, we read in verse 17 that surely in vain is the net spread in the sight of any bird. So the fowler is somebody that is trying to catch a bird with a snare or a trap. But when you are setting that trap and the bird is looking, it's not going to fall for it because it sees what you are doing. Right? So the same thing with you because you are in the secret place of the Lord and the eyes of the Lord are upon you like that and you are under his shadow, under his wings, well, the snare of the fowler will not work, for the Lord has seen it and he'll deliver you from it. Praise the Lord. And you're not going to fall into it. Hallelujah. So, these are powerful statements for those that dwell in that secret place. Lot of things for them. We'll talk more about what that secret place is. But let's look at these things that they get. Deliverance from the plans of the enemy. That's a snare of the fowler. He's planning it. The Lord has seen it. So he will deliver you from it. Because it's in vain when he's looking at it. And there's nothing the devil is planning that's not in plain view of the Lord. You know, and then it's in view. He has seen it and he will deliver you from it. And any other pestilence that may be in the land at any time, the Lord will deliver you from it. When the children of Israel were in Egypt and the Lord was bringing all those plagues, the Lord said, I will make a distinction and a differentiation between my people and the rest. And you will know how that the Lord doth make a distinction. And he made a separation. There were plagues in the land, but he didn't touch the children of Israel. You know, there was pestilence. There was all kinds of things, but he didn't touch them. And he will not touch you because the Lord will cover you with his feathers. You know, it's like, you know, the mother chicken that's protecting a young ones, brooding over them like that, covering them. You don't mess with it. Don't come near that thing. You know, I mean, like that. Under his wings thou shalt trust, and his truth shall be thy shield and buckler. You know, truth will always prevail. Truth will also speak for you all the time. You know, cling to the truth. Just like clinging to wisdom, everything that Solomon wrote about wisdom, he said, hey, you know, seek him, embrace wisdom, or seek her, embrace wisdom, he shall deliver thee, he shall do this, he shall do that. That's also the truth. Truth will do those same things for you. When you seek, stay with the truth, it will speak for you. It will also be your defender. Truth will be. Well, because you are in the secret place of the Most High, because you are under his shadow all the time, you will not be afraid. These are the blessings that come from being in that place. You will not be afraid. Whether terror by night or arrow that fly by day. Today, if he was writing this, those arrows would be called bullets. That's what they used to shoot in those days. Today, they shoot bullets. They don't shoot arrows too much anymore. They shoot bullets, you know, random violence, you know, in some neighborhoods, you know, gang wars and different things, and shooting. Some people even, you know, terrors, internal terror. Sometimes somebody would take a gun, go to a mall and shoot up the place, go to a school and shoot up the place. And we've seen these things in the news all the time. But for those that are dwelling the secret place of the Most High, and under the shadow of the Almighty, these things cannot come near you. But you say, well, but these things are out there. Well, let's find out why they won't come near you, even though they are out there. You see, the pestilence, I think darkness, there may be a plague, a breakout of something, COVID, you know, or whatever. You know, that breaks out, you know, some things may break out, but it won't come near you. Praise the Lord. You know, there are many, sicknesses and perilous things that are broken out these days, but the Lord said it won't come near you. Might be Ebola in Africa, it might be COVID, it might be this, it might be that, whatever. You know, there's some plagues that will break out, will not come near you. And if it does come near you, you reject it. But she said, the Lord said, if you not come near me, praise the Lord. Destruction that wasted at noonday. Well, you may even be in a place where destruction happens. Now, the Lord can tell you get out of there, and you must listen to him. But if he doesn't tell you get out of there, then he will protect you if you're there. You know, praise the Lord. So that's a prayer that we often pray, that look, where if evil is determined, you will not be there and I will not be there. Otherwise, you know, the Lord can keep you from it. But if you are there, then he will make sure that it doesn't come near you, wherever you are, because you are, you know, you're in this bubble, you know, that secret place, like a bubble, it's like a shield protecting you. Yeah. He said, 1,000 will fall at thy side, 10,000 at the right hand shall not come near you. Well, only with your eyes you'll see it, behold it. You can see it, see on the news, hear about it, and so on. But it won't come near you. You wonder, you know, so why will all these things be? Well, because, this is the reason. Look at the reason. He said, because, that's in verse 9. Because you have made the Lord, it's my refuge. You have made even the Most High your habitation. Now, that goes back to that dwelling again. Not just your hotel. The Lord is not your hotel. He is your habitation. You're not checking in and out. You are living inside of him. You live, you move, you breathe in him. Acts 17:28. Everything. In him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. Because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even thy habitation. Well, because of that, there shall no evil befall thee. Glory to God. That's right. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. You know, it's still again talking about dwelling. If you are dwelling inside the Lord, then no plague can come inside that dwelling because it's the Lord. If the Lord is your refuge and fortress, and you are inside that fortress, then no evil can reach you there. You know, so that's what he's talking about. And furthermore, because you are connected with him like that, there are angels that will be on the lookout for you, to keep you in all your ways, bear you up in their hands, so you won't even dash your foot against a stone. Or you can even be going into dangerous places. You know, by the grace of God, we've traveled, my wife and I have traveled to Nigeria in troublous times. Every time we're going, we hear all this horrible news. You know, people say, don't go here, don't do this, don't do that, this and that, and so on. Yeah. Yet we go there, we do this and we do that. And we see no evil, you know, see no evil, hear no evil, think no evil, and speak no evil. That's right. You know, and, you know, we acknowledge that it is happening. And our heart prays that the Lord should change that situation so that that situation can be an environment of peace for those that have to deal with that and live there. However, if you have to live there, or you have to visit the place, well, be assured that the Lord will protect you. Praise the Lord. He'll protect you. And furthermore, he gives you some power over different things that are happening around. He said, look, not only will the angels bear you up, but the Lord will cause you to tread upon, you know, all kinds of demonic things. You just trample them underfoot. That means they're under your feet. They're under your feet. They can't do you any harm. You just crush them with your feet. You tread upon the lion, the adder, the young lion, the dragon. You know, all these demonic and serpentine spirits. Jesus said the same thing in Luke 10 and 19. Behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. Tread upon serpents and scorpions. you know, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Well, you get all of that by dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. And here is the Lord's direct response. Besides all of these blessings, which you might call, you know, fringe benefits. Fringe benefits of dwelling in that secret place. Well, here's what the Lord himself declares with his own mouth. He said, because you have set your love upon me. Now, that brings me to the definition of that secret place. Remember, I said I'll talk about it some more. A definition of that secret place is where a man's heart is set completely upon the Lord. You're gazing upon him. You have chosen him as your chief joy. He is uppermost in your heart. You think about him. You love on him. You worship him and you praise him and you repeat his word. Secret place of the Most High is also in praising the Lord with his word. Psalmist said, in his word will I praise him. What time I afraid, I will praise his word. I'll praise him in his word. In those places where you are praising God in his word and with his word, and your love is set upon him, God, here's God's direct response. He said, when you are doing that, I will deliver such a person. Remember, he starts out by saying, blessed is the person, that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. He's addressing that person. Well, for that person, here's what he says to that person in verse 14. Because that person has set his love upon me, so that's our secret place. That's a connection. I will deliver him. I will also set him on high. Because he has known my name. My name is secret. In the olden days, you know, they'd see an angel of the Lord and say, what is your name? Like, you know, Jacob might ask. Yeah, wrestle with an angel of the Lord in Genesis 32. Say, what is your name? Say, what do you want to know my name for? Seeing that he's secret. You know, Manoah and the rest of them, I see an angel of the Lord. What is your name? Say, what do you want to know my name for? Seeing that it is secret. Well, it was secret to some. But God has revealed his name to us. Now, this verse says, because you have known his name. Yeah? Jesus in his prayer in John 17 said, look, I have made known unto them your name. Glory to God. Now, it's no longer secret. God, we have known that name. These are, you know, that name is revealed in that secret place. You know, about which Jesus rejoiced and said, Father, you hid it from some, but you revealed it to some. No man knows who the Father is, but the Son. You know, Matthew 11, 25 to 27. No man knows who the Son is, who the Father is. You know, Father can reveal the Son to you. The Son can reveal the Father to you, and so on. But unless it is revealed by the Son, the Father, you don't know. But when you do know, because it was revealed, then, you know, God says, I will graciously grant you, you know, my salvation. Glory to God. I will deliver you. I will set you on high because you have known my name. Now, in that secret place, when you call, I will answer. I'll be with you in trouble. My Father is always with me. He has not left me because I do always those things that are pleasing unto him. I will deliver him and I will honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and I will show him my salvation. This is for that person that is dwelling in that secret place. Glory to God. Now, another version of looking at that secret place. It's all part of the same. Is what Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 7. He said, if ye abide in me. Now that's that abiding. That's that dwelling. It's not you visit me once in a while. No. If you abide in me, you're dwelling in me. Lord, that has been our dwelling place from all generations. If you dwell in me and my word dwells in you. See, that's that connection. It's a one-on-one connection. He's in you. You are in him. Where you are is where he is. Where he is where you are. You're there. Joined to the Lord as one spirit. Well, Jesus said, well, if that's the case, you found that secret place which no fowl knows, which no vulture's eye can see. Well, if you have found that secret place, then you will be like this thing that, I mean, your experience will be what Psalm 91 says here. When you call, the Lord will answer. When you ask, he will give it. And so Jesus is quoting the same thing in John 15 and 7 saying, if you are abiding in me, the one that is dwelling in me like that, well, he will ask anything and I will give it to you. But, you know, it starts out by saying, if you abide or dwell, see, in me, that's our secret place. If you are doing that, well, then it's yours for the asking. Praise the Lord. He talks about dwelling in him in so many places in this John 15. And the way he describes it, got to take it along with what we're reading in Psalm 91. I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me. Now, those were branches that were already in him. But they were not bearing fruit. They were not producing. They were in him to start with, but they did not produce. Well, then he taketh them away. But every branch that is bearing fruit, he purchases so that he may bring forth even more fruit. Remember, he that hath shall be given more, and he that hath not, even that which he seemeth to have, shall be taken from him. Now, Jesus says, abide in me. That's right. Verse 4 of John 15. This is dwell. Dwell. Abide. Not visit. Abide. Not encounter me, but habitation in the Lord. You know, abide in me and I in you. Where I am is where you are. Where you are is where I am. Infused together. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, well, once the branch is cut away from the vine, it will die because it's no longer connected to that vine. You know, now the branch by itself cannot bear any fruit. You know, and you might notice that the fruits grow on the branches, not on the main stem. The main stem of the tree is just to produce the branches, and the branches, the ones that are going to produce the fruit. If the fruit is not being produced, or the branch is not producing fruit, then it's no good. You know, so he that abideth in me said, I am the vine and ye are the branches. Branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. You cannot attach the branch to the vine and detach it next day and attach it another day and detach it and think, no, it's not going to work. It will die off. You know, it must remain connected. Not detached and reattached, detached, reattached. That's not going to work. You can't do it like that. When it remains connected, I am the vine, you are the branches. You know, when you will remain connected with me, said, you will bear fruit when you are in me. You know, otherwise you won't bear any fruit if you do not abide in me. I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me. How many times is he going to use this word abide in this chapter? That's dwelling. He that abideth in me and I in him. See? Together like that. The same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me, you can't do nothing. You know, outside of him, we can really do nothing. Now, if a man abide not in me, he was a branch to begin with, but he did not remain, going in and out. Well, if a man are doing like that, he said, he is cast forth as a branch and is eventually withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. There's a lot of affliction that come through not abiding in the Lord. Before I went astray, I was afflicted. We read that in the last series we just did. Now, if you abide in me, though, and my words abide in you, so that's that secret place, dwelling in him by the word. That's right. You are becoming him by the word. His word is becoming part of you, becoming flesh in you. You are meditating on it. You are speaking it. You are thinking it. You know, even dream it. You think and dream the word. That's right. You know, it's becoming part and parcel of us, as they say, becoming part and parcel. You say, well, such a person that's abiding in me and my words abiding in them, they can ask anything they want. Glory to God. And it shall be done. That's what Psalm 91 is saying. When that person that's dwelling in a secret place like that, say, he will call and I will answer. What he says and asks of me, I will do. And he will not ask amiss. See, because he's connect. When you are connected with the word of God, you will not ask amiss. James said, look, many of you ask and you receive nothing because you're asking faith. You do not ask in faith. Well, some people ask and they receive nothing because they ask amiss. But to consume it upon their own lust, they don't know the word of God. So, but when you know the word of God, because you are in him and his word is in you, you will ask aright. Hallelujah. And the Lord will do it. Now, listen to this. If you keep my commandments, even as I've commanded you, right? Well, then you shall abide in my love. Even as I've kept my command, Father's commandments, and abide in his love. So here is the secret of, you know, retaining or retention, you know, being there in his presence is keeping his commandments. Glory to God. So you can see how this whole thing is connected. We've been talking about keeping his commandments throughout the series we did, just concluded, and engaging his word in the spirit. We come full circle here and we're saying the same thing again. You know, in keeping his commandments is a demonstration that we love him, John 14 and 21. And it's also in that same place that we remain in his love. You love him because you keep his commandments. He loves you because you keep his commandments. And he comes and abides with you. Praise the Lord. And he reveals himself to you even more. Now, these are the lessons behind dwelling in his presence and so forth. Repeating his word, in his word, my word abide in you, he said. These things will bring you into a place that is like you have a force field around you. It's a force field around you like a shield. Huh. The enemy cannot penetrate that. Praise the Lord. It's there. Let's read it again in Job 28 and verse 7. There's a place that no evil spirit can get into. No foul, no essay. No evil vulture. Their eyes can't see it. You are protected in the Lord like that. You know, when you are dwelling in him, and that dwelling place of your habitation is the Lord, there is a force field of protection. Isaiah chapter 4 verse 5 says, upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion. Now, what's that dwelling place? Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place from all generations. So if you take Isaiah 4:5, you plug it into Psalm 90 and verse 1, you plug that into Psalm 91 and verses 1 and 2, and you find out that they're talking about the same thing. Here's what the way Isaiah chapter 4 verse 5 puts it. This, it creates a shield of protection around you because you are dwelling in him. Now, upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon all assemblies, remember, his dwelling, their dwelling place is the Lord. In our dwelling place from all generations. But upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion, therefore, and upon all assemblies, the Lord will create a cloud and smoke by day, and the shining of a flaming fire by night. Upon all, the glory of God shall be a defense. That's right. So, there's a defense. It's like a strong defense city. You know, listen to it again, how Isaiah 33 puts it, you know, talking about, you know, who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Isaiah 33 and verse 14. Who among us shall dwell? Again, the key word is dwell, not going and out. Dwell with everlasting burnings. Well, he that walketh righteously. These are the traits and attributes of dwelling in his presence. We are dwelling, we're walking righteously, we're walking uprightly, we're despising gain of oppression, we're shaking our hands from taking of bribes, we're stopping our ears from hearing of blood and gossip and backbiting and so forth. It's far from that person. Shut his eyes from seeing evil. See no evil, hear no evil. Remember, I said it before. Hear no evil. In other words, he stops his ears from hearing evil. Huh? See no evil. He shuts his eyes from seeing evil. Huh? Yeah. He shall dwell on high. Now again, see that dwelling. The dwelling is on high. His place of defense. This is what we get from dwelling in the Lord. It creates a force field around us. Place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. It's like rocks around you as your ammunition. Hiding, the Lord's covering you. And on top of that, bread shall be given unto you. And your waters shall be sure. The Lord said, I will bless your bread and your water. Well, bread will be given to you in that secret place. Your waters will be sure as well. Glory to God. These are all the benefits of being in that secret place. Isaiah chapter 54. I love this book of Isaiah. Contains many such secrets and promises. You know, Isaiah chapter 54 and verses 14 through about 17. You know, many things he says, in righteousness thou shalt be established, and thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. It's the same thing like Psalm 91 says, you know, you'll not be afraid of terror, it will not come near you. Even when people try to gather together against you, well, it won't be by the Lord, they shall fall for thy sake. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue shall rise against you in judgment, shall condemn. You know, because, you know, these are the heritage of the servants of the Lord, the righteousness of me. These are the blessings that you get from, you know, being, you know, established in the Lord's presence. Now listen to this in Isaiah chapter 32. There are some more benefits, you know, of the blessings of being in his presence. The walk of righteousness, Isaiah 32 and verse 17, shall be peace. The effect thereof shall be quietness and assurance forever. My people shall dwell. That's that word dwell again. Dwell in peaceable habitation. Well, in sure dwellings. Well, when you are in the Lord is not a yo-yo. Today is there for you. Tomorrow is not there. You know, it will be sure. Quiet resting places. fear, I mean, you'll be far from the terror of oppression, because it will not come near you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So these are some of the benefits that we read in Psalm 91. Now let me conclude this lesson by reading to you again from Job chapter 22. I want to read all of 21 through 28. I only alluded to one verse there. I want to read all of it. It starts out by saying, acquaint now yourself. Get in the Lord. You know, I mean, don't be a stranger to him. Don't be a visitor either. You know, be there with him all the time. Praise the Lord. Let's read Job 22, verse 21. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth. See, again, back to the word of the Lord. And lay his words in your heart. Now, you return to the Almighty. You know, you might have walked away from him. He'll never walk away from you. But you got to return to him. If you return, you'll be built up. And put away iniquity from your tabernacles. Then, glory to God, then shalt thou lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Yea. See, remember, that dwelleth in the secret place of the Almighty shall abide. I mean, the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It says here, yea, the Almighty shall be your defense. Glory to God. And even there you will find plenty of silver. Yeah, there's some secret riches of hidden places, hidden treasures. Lord has a way to show them to you. You know, when you have your delight in the Almighty, again, that's the secret place. The secret place is in delighting yourself in the Almighty. The secret place is in connecting with him. Lifting up your face unto him, making your prayer to him, and he shall hear thee. That's right. You know, just like he said, I shall call and I will hear. He shall call upon me in trouble and I will be there and I will deliver him. You will, well, then, but you will remember also to pay your vows. Someone that's in the secret place of the Lord will not break that secret place connection by not keeping their vows. That will break it. See, that's some of the things that will break it. You say, Lord, I will do this, but you don't do it. God has no pleasure in fools. The secret place of the Almighty is for those whom God has pleasure in. They find pleasure in the Lord, and the Lord finds pleasure in them. According to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, the Lord has no pleasure in fools. He defines a fool as someone that, you know, says, I will do this. But he doesn't do it. When thou vowest a vow, Ecclesiastes 5 and 4, defy not to pay it, for God has no pleasure in fools. So somebody that makes a vow and doesn't pay is a fool. Pay that which thou hast vowed. For it is better that thou shouldest not vow at all than you should vow and not pay. That's are some of the blockers to enjoying the fullness of that secret place, you know, and don't let your mouth cause your flesh to sing. Don't say before the angel, oh, it was an error, I didn't know what I was saying. But I know what you were saying. God be angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hands, you know. So, you know, not paying your vow can lead to all these blockages that even God will resist the work of your hands. Why would you want him to do that? Pay your vows. Praise the Lord. Back to Job chapter 22. When you do pay your vows, though, well, many blessings will come your way. You know, all these blessings shall be yours. Praise the Lord. They are yours because you are keeping your word. God's keeping his word, and you are also keeping your word to the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, you know, it's not a one-way street. It's dual communication, dual relationship. Praise the Lord. You will also be at peace when you do that. you pay your vows. And in that place, of that secret place, you can declare a thing and it shall be established unto you. Didn't Jesus say the same thing? Well, you shall ask anything and it shall be done, because you are abiding in me and I'm abiding in you. The light shall also shine upon your ways. You will not dwell in darkness, because God is light and in him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5. So if God is light, then you will be in the light always. And you will be a person of encouragement. When people are cast down, you'll be able to lift them up. And when others are cast down, you yourself will be enjoying a lifting up, because you are dwelling in the secret place of the Almighty. Praise the Lord. Fearing the Lord, delighting yourself in the Lord, walking in his ways, fervent prayers always, praising the Lord. These are the things that will cause God to also rejoice over you. And when you are in that secret place with him, he's also rejoicing over you. In the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3, you know, let me read this to you as I close. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 17. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. With joy over thee with singing. The Lord loves fellowship. And he rejoices, you know, when you are singing praise unto him. He himself will rejoice in it. And he says, look, at that time I will undo, glory to God, all that afflict thee. I will save that that is halting, gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise. Not just the Lord will get him praise, the Lord will get you praise. That's right. You are giving the praise to him, and God is making sure that you yourself, you know, get honor and get praise before people. And everywhere you go, where you've been put to shame before, the Lord said, I will revert it, I'll reverse it, and I will get you praise. I'll bring you again. Hallelujah. I'll turn your captivity before your eyes, said the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the benefits of dwelling in that secret place and abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. Thank you for speaking these things to us, though we know them, we are already established in the present truth. Yet you have said that as we see the day approaching, we should encourage one another with these words. And may these words of encouragement inspire confidence in us. No matter where you go, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Glory to God. May we have that kind of confidence. For those of you that may be traveling into dangerous places or even living in dangerous places, the Lord has promised you, when you pass through the fire, I will be with you. Glory to God. You're only passing through, you know, and the psalmist said it best. You know, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm coming out on the other side. I will fear no evil, because the Lord is with me. And he will deliver me. He will deliver the island of the innocent. They will be delivered by your words, he said. Praise the Lord. And as you go forth anywhere, remember, you are inside of him. You are in that bubble. It's a shield around you. The Lord is a sun and a shield, according to Psalm 84. He said that for us as well. He is a sun and he is a shield unto them that fear his name. Glory to God. Verse 11 of Psalm 84. And the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that dwell in his presence like that. Praise God. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.